This is the Pat O'Keefe Show.
All right, Jacob Perry, who's producing the show with Chantel Rankin, just commented, this show is flying by. Thanks to Don LaGreca for hopping on his way home from Madison Square Garden after the Rangers beat the Hurricanes 4-3 in game one of their second round series. And thanks to Alan Hahn for joining me to get us set for the Knicks and the Pacers. Game one of that series in the second round as well begins tomorrow, 7:30 start. Our pregame coverage begins at 7 right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Dan Grasso will have the pregame show. Monica and I have the play-by-play of the Knicks and the Pacers. And then, of course, you can hear Alan and Wally Zerbiak and Bill Pito and Monica on MSG Networks. You can see them starting at 6:30 with hour-long pregame coverage.
First of all, Pat, I just want to say,
yes,
every game with you and Monica doing a play-by-play video, you already know that's what I look forward to the most. The big moment of the Knicks game, watching you call it and Monica's facial reaction just sells it for me every time.
I mean, the first one, not the first one that she's done, but the first one of last week, the DiVincenzo shot in game number two, the one that kind of took off more than the others. I had, obviously no idea what was happening to my left until I felt Monica grab my arm with both of her hands when he hits the shot. And then when I went back and I actually watched her facial reactions throughout that entire sequence, it was just phenomenal. I mean, it really was. And, I think the most common comment that I've seen on that was how she is every single Knicks fan wanting that action. And she was. But the best part of that is she immediately snaps out of that and gives the clear, concise, succinct analysis of what just happened. This, what could turn out to be famous sequence in the history of this Knicks franchise. I mean, she did just a tremendous job.
Yeah, she absolutely did. And also, don't sell yourself short, man. The call was always great. You know, when you got to follow up on the Knicks broadcast and just play-by-play, and it's not only that, they're able to keep up with the action that was going on at the time in game two. Come on, Pat. You deserve a pat on the back.
I appreciate that, Jacob. You know what was funny? And thank you. After game five, obviously, the Tyrese Maxey game, when he gets the four-point play and then he comes down and hits the logo three-pointer to tie it, there are a few Philly fans calling us out on social media. Hey, where's the reaction shot of the Maxey three? I kind of would have liked to have seen that, too. I didn't ask Monica to post that, clearly. But it's been a lot of fun. We'll be back together tomorrow. Knicks Pacers game one. It does bring back so many memories. I mean, so much history between these two teams. From 93, when the Pacers were kind of an ascending playoff contending team in the Eastern Conference. 93, the Knicks were the number one seed that year. That was the year they were supposed to usurp the Bulls. Then, of course, the series that resulted in the Charles Smith game happened at Madison Square Garden. Bulls won that series in six. But before the Knicks got to that point, round one, they played kind of the upstart Pacers team with Reggie Miller, who was an all-star at that point. But, Rick Smits was just starting to figure it out, and Dale Davis. Knicks won that series in four games. Back then, the first rounds were best of five. So the Knicks won it 3-1. The only game the Pacers won in that series was game three, when John Starks let Reggie Miller get under his skin and he headbutted Miller, and Starks was ejected from the game. And then, of course, the next year, 94, they met in the conference finals. Game five at the Garden, Reggie Miller went crazy. That was the back and forth with Spike Lee, 25 points in the fourth quarter, pushing the Knicks to the brink of elimination. Knicks had to go out to Indianapolis, win game six on the road, which they did, and then come home and win a dramatic game seven. Patrick Ewing, 24 points and 20 rebounds, the putback dunk in the final minute to send the Knicks to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1973. They met again the following year, 1995. That was the other Reggie Miller game, game one of that series, where Miller scored 8 points in 9 seconds, and the Pacers stunned the Knicks. That was a similar game to if the Rangers would have lost today to the Hurricanes. That would have been similar to that. Now, I know it's tough to compare, the quickness of scoring between basketball and hockey, but that was a game back then in 95 where the Knicks just had it, right? They were in control of that game the entire time. And then all of a sudden, you lose concentration for 30 seconds and you lose game one. And if Carolina had actually scored another goal to tie it and send this to overtime earlier today and win, that would have kind of been a similar feeling. So the Rangers did a good job avoiding that. But that was Knicks Pacers game one of that series. They came back to the Garden for game five. I'll tell you a quick story. 95, and this is why, you know, as someone who grew up in New York and gets to be calling these games right now for the MSG Radio Network, I think back to game five of that 95 series more than any other, because I was a sophomore in high school at the time, and all I wanted to do was go to a Knicks playoff game that year. So that was, you know, the height of the Pat Riley run. That was, as it turns out, Pat Riley's last season as head coach. He left and resigned after they lost that Pacers series. All I wanted to do was go to a Knicks playoff game. During February break from school, I worked at my mother's office in Manhattan doing like data entry for like $10 an hour, which was a lot of money back then, by the way. Saved all my money from the week. Okay. I don't know what it came out to be, maybe like $130 or $150 or something. Saved all my money. And the intention was to scalp a ticket to a Knicks playoff game, which I did for game five of the second round series against the Pacers. Knicks were down 3-1 because of Reggie Miller's heroics in game one. It was a back and forth game like they always seem to be. Patrick Ewing hit a runner from inside the paint with about a second to go to put the Knicks on top. The Knicks had to withstand one final turnaround, fall away, three-point attempt from Reggie Miller that was just off the mark. The Knicks won the game. They kept their season alive. And for the second year in a row, the Knicks went out to Indianapolis, won game six to continue to keep their season alive, force game seven at the Garden. Unfortunately, this time around, game seven ended with the errant Ewing finger roll at the rim. And there's the famous video of Pat Riley just quietly walking off the floor at Madison Square Garden for what turned out to be the final time as the Knicks head coach after four unbelievable seasons, really helping to turn around this franchise. So the Knicks Pacers, for me, has that special game five Ewing. And Ewing was my guy. I mean, we had the same first name. I wore 33 for my high school basketball team and any other basketball team I played on growing up. I wore wristbands. I mean, my friends made fun of me all the time. I was a total geek, geeky Patrick Ewing fan. You know, I had the Ewing sneakers, but he was my guy. So to be in the building, for him to hit a game winner with 1 second left in game five to keep the season alive was incredible. And then the heartbreak for me as a fan 2 games later when he misses that finger roll, and he wasn't 100%, you know? That was when the legs were starting to go, and, you know, he didn't have the lift, and he was midair and had to decide whether to try to go for the dunk or try to lay it in. And, you know, because of the condition of the legs, he didn't have full confidence that he could get all the way to the rim and slam it home. So he tried to finger roll, and it was just on the back of that rim, and it popped right out. I could, you know, picture it as clear as day right now as I'm trying to describe it. So that was a heartbreaking moment. Riley was out the door. They met again in 98. Ewing that year broke his wrist early in the season, so he was out. That was a really good Pacers team that ended up challenging the Bulls and taking them to game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals. So the Knicks didn't have, they weren't able to put up much of a fight in that 98 second round series. And then the two back-to-back years meeting in the conference finals. 1999, when the Knicks were the number 8 seed, the 4-point play, and then Allen Houston really going from, that was the series, as I remember Allen Houston's career, where he went from a spot-up jump shooter to someone who could create off the dribble and find his own shot and to create his own shot. And that was the playoff run, the 99 playoff run when they were the 8th seed and they went all the way to the finals, when Allen Houston took his career to a different level. And he was just unstoppable in that game 6 at Madison Square Garden as the Knicks wrapped up that series against the Pacers. Remember, if they lose that game, they got to go back out to Indy for game 7. No guarantees. So you had the Johnson 4-point play. You had Allen Houston Unstoppable in game six. Knicks go to the finals and lose to the Spurs in five because they didn't have Ewing again for that finals run. And then in 2000, that was kind of the last stand for this Knicks team. You know, Ewing was back, but it was his last year one of his last years in New York. They went to the conference finals. They lost to the Pacers. They met again. And that was kind of the end of that run for the Knicks from 92 through 2000, where they went to not only the playoffs every year, they went to at least the second round of the playoffs every single year. It was just an incredible run for that franchise. And the Pacers and the Knicks were right in the middle of all that. And they met, of course, the next really good Knicks season they had after 2000 was 2013, the Carmelo Anthony team that won 54 games and was the number two seed. And Knicks lost that series in six. That was one of those series that you have to beware. You know, this isn't always the case, but when you look at game one tomorrow, you know, recent Knicks history, if you lose game one on your home floor and you have to chase that victory the rest of the series, sometimes you're never able to get it. And that happened to the Knicks last year against Miami when the Heat came in and beat them in game one. Knicks won game two. Miami held serve at home. They were up 3-1. Knicks kept their season alive at home to make it 3-2. And despite Jalen Brunson's best efforts, the Knicks were unable to win game six down in Miami. They were unable to get that series back to the Garden for game seven. Same thing happened in 2013. The Knicks lost game one to the Pacers. They won game two. They won game five at home, but they were never able to get one in Indianapolis, including that last one that turned on the Roy Hibbert block of Carmelo Anthony with about 5 minutes left in game four as Melo went to the basket trying to give the Knicks a four-point lead. Knicks were unable to hold on, and they lost that series. So much history between the Knicks and the Pacers. Obviously, a brand new cast of characters. This is kind of the third iteration, you know. The fourth iteration. The first iteration was, you know, the Riley Knicks teams against, you know, Reggie Miller and Rick Smits. The second iteration was the Van Gundy Knicks teams, the series in 98, 99, and 2000 when they met 3 years in a row, including twice in the conference finals. The third iteration was the 2013 second round series, which the Knicks lost in six. And this is the fourth iteration of Knicks and Pacers in the NBA playoffs, and it starts tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. 1-800-919-3776. That was a little sidebar tangent that I wasn't planning on, but you know, you never know where your mind is going to take you. Let's get back to the phones and say hello to Jose in Brooklyn. Jose, how are you?
Hey, good evening, Pat. Shout out to the company. I definitely wanted to chime in and talk some Knicks with you because we haven't spoken in a while. And, you know, thanks for, you know, the agonizing trauma of the finger roll game and, you know, all of that. Yeah, just, you know, fantastic. But, you know, and I do agree with you on there were certain series like, you know, the that 99 Camby series where he kind of pretty much, you know, dominated Mutombo, you know, down low and pretty much made people think that we didn't need Patrick anymore. And, you know, Allen Houston pretty much became, like you said, kind of became more than a spot-up shooter and kind of became a guy that can create his own shot and was very good defensively. And, you know, and then Van Gundy going small with the 99, that's, you know, kind of, you know, just, you know, a very good run. But with this Knicks team, I am a little concerned with game one because, you know, there is a little tendency where this team has kind of started off a little slow, and the last thing we can kind of ill afford to do with the team that kind of starts off quick and wants to, you know, quicken the pace and keep you off your feet is to start off slow. So, you know, and this is where, you know, the defensive assignments on Tyrese Halliburton is going to, you know, really, you know, come into play. And I think it's going to be, you know, a chess match because, you know, we know that the, you know, Indiana's coach is very good, and we know that Tibbs is very good. But you know, Tibbs, this could be a story for Tibbs to kind of knock off another person with a championship ring, and you know, kind of win, if I'm not mistaken. So let's see how this works. You know, I hope Jalen Brunson can continue to do what he's doing. I hope the rest of the Knicks, you know, 1 through 7 and hopefully 8, because I do want to see Precious Achiuwa, you know, possibly make more of an impact and can still continue to be productive and still win and still kind of show have that consistency, like kind of have that last game, that closeout game, kind of pretty much have that type of consistency, because they're going to need it if they want to still, you know, beat the Pacers and, well, you know, possibly contend.
That last closeout game, Jose, and thanks for the call, was a really good balanced offensive effort. I mean, you know, obviously you get the huge performance from Brunson, but you got DiVincenzo had his best game of the series. OG Anunoby with 19 more points. Josh Hart with 16, including that huge three-pointer, and he hit three of them. Isaiah Hartenstein had the floater working early or in the game. You got 5 points off the bench, interestingly, in game number 6, and you used 27 minutes off the bench. That was it. Robinson played 18. Deuce McBride played 9. It's going to be an interesting series for sure. You know, is Tyrese Halliburton? Well, I'll share some thoughts on that as we continue here. Let's go to Malik in Queens. Malik, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. What's going on?
I've never called the radio before. This is the first time I ever called. The reason I called was because I heard that you were on. Just in my opinion, I think a lot of Knicks fans as well probably feel the same, but I think from here on out, you and Monica should be doing all of the Knicks games. I mean, you guys got like a camaraderie that's kind of like unmatched. Like, you know, you're really into the game, and your Knicks knowledge is really superb. Now just think, like, management, anybody that's listening or anybody that can make a decision, I think really going forward, I think that job should be just you and Monica.
Malik, that's really nice of you to say. Thank you for making the call. I've had an absolute blast working with Monica for the majority of this season. You know, I've worked with Allen, worked with Wally, worked with Ty Carter as well. You know, Monica and I get to do all these playoff games together. The games at first round series was unbelievably intense, you know, especially for a first round series. And getting to work with her, she's a fantastic partner. Her knowledge of the game is superb. She also has, as we have seen through many different mediums, whether it's ESPN, whether it's on our station, whether it's on her Instagram videos that she posts of us, she's got just such a terrific personality that really comes through in her work and in the broadcast. So she makes it tremendously easy to work with, and it's been awesome so far. So that was very nice of you to say. Thank you for making that call. We're having a blast right now. 1-800-919-3776. We'll get further into this first round series, the Knicks and the Pacers, and some thoughts from you on that, on the Rangers game 1 victory over Carolina. Big win at Madison Square Garden earlier today. Or anything else on your mind? Pat O'Keefe with you until the top of the hour on 98.7 ESPN New York.
This is the Pat O'Keefe Show.
Began the second, already this spring, the second stretch of 4 consecutive days of playoff action at Madison Square Garden. It continues to be just a fantastic time to be a sports fan in this city, especially if you happen to be a sports fan of either or both of the two teams that play at Madison Square Garden. But you had the Rangers game 1, 4-3 victory over the Carolina Hurricanes earlier today. Mika Zibanejad a couple of goals, Vincent Trocheck a goal, Artemi Panarin a goal. Rangers were 2-for-2 on the power play. They were 5-for-5 on the penalty kill. They withstood 1 goal late in the third period after Carolina had pulled the goalie and had a furious rally after that. They were able to hold on, the Rangers were, for a game 1 victory. So that was today. Tomorrow, back to basketball, game 1, Knicks-Pacers, 7:30 start, 7 o'clock pregame coverage here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Tuesday, back to Pucks, Game two between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. The time of that game, not determined as of yet. It will depend on the game going on right now. There's one more round one, game seven happening right now in Dallas. The Stars and the Golden Knights are tied at one during the second intermission. So depending on the results of that game, that will impact the start time of game two for the Rangers-Hurricanes series. And then Knicks game two back at the Garden on Wednesday night, a late start, 8 p.m. for game number two. So that's where we stand right now. Let's hear from you. 1-800-919-3776. Dalu in Brooklyn. Dalu, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm a great fan of the New York Knicks. I've been a fan going back to the days of Toby Knight, Rory Sparrow, back in those days, Rick Pitino. I feel that Tom Thibodeau, he should increase his player rotation to at least a firm eight men, possible nine, depending upon the athleticism of the team that we're going to play against. And from here on out, the Pacers and possibly even Boston, who should come out above Cleveland, are extremely athletic, and they go into their bench. I think that just using a seven-man rotation works to the detriment of our players because you overexhaust the players, and then it usually shows somewhere in the third or early fourth quarters in games where, due to exhaustion, they're being inefficient in player proficiency on the court. And so I believe that Tom Thibodeau should increase his player rotation, especially since the Pacers are extremely healthy right now, and they have their full complement of bigs, starters, as well as their bench, and they're highly athletic. I think that's something that our coach should consider right now. You know, it's not normally what he does. He has a history of using tight rotations since back in Chicago. So I think that that would work against us in this series.
Dalu, I appreciate the call. You know, my thoughts on Tom Thibodeau are, you're right, the last point that you made is a correct one, right? This is his history as a head coach. This is who Tom Thibodeau is as a head coach. You know, for better or for worse, it's gotten him pretty far in his career, right? He's won 500-plus games, already fifth most wins in Knicks franchise history, fifth most playoff wins in Knicks franchise history. He's got them to the playoffs now three of the last 4 years after they had missed the playoffs the previous 7 years before he got here. He settles in on his rotation, and he doesn't tend to veer from that often. Now, the one thing I'll say regarding the rotation, and this has been a big topic of conversation leading into this series, it's very difficult to lose a guy from your rotation in the middle of the series and just adjust on the fly, okay? Knicks had Bojan Bogdanović as, along with Deuce McBride, their scorer off the bench for the first three games. Comes on in game four, a minute in, Batum falls on his ankle, he's done for the season. All of a sudden now, it's very, very difficult to kind of bring somebody new in the mix in the middle of the series that already has had its own rhythms and its own feel and its own trends. At that point, you kind of just batten down the hatch with what you already have, which is exactly what Tom Thibodeau did. Bogdanović couldn't play in games five or six. Then those Bogdanović minutes were spread out among Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo and OG Anunoby. First of all, he wasn't playing Bogdanović a ton off the bench anyway. He was probably playing in the 12 to 14 minute a game range. So there weren't a lot of minutes to distribute among his other players. Now, the question regarding this series is, given the 3 days off before game one, you're not forced to adjust on the fly. You're not forced to put somebody new into your rotation on the fly in the middle of the series, right? You have time now to prepare for your opponent and to see if a potential eighth man fits into the rotation somewhere. And Precious Achiuwa seems to be the logical choice to be the eighth man in this series. I do think we'll see him. You know, we spoke to Alan Hahn last hour, and I asked him to put a number on how deep Tom Thibodeau will go with the rotation. And his guess, he hedged a little, but I also agree with him. His guess is 7.5. Does Achiuwa have a full rotational spot in this series? Probably not to begin with. But will we see him in this series? Yes, I do think we will. I mean, and anything can happen. Mitchell Robinson or Isaiah Hartenstein could get into foul trouble. Although, knock on wood here, that's not as big a concern because you're not facing somebody like Joel Embiid, who is so proficient at getting himself to the free throw line. But, you know, there's injuries. There's players getting nicked up. But beyond just the normal reasons for somebody moving into the playing rotation, as the caller said, and he's right on this, Indiana is just a more athletic team than Philadelphia was. I mean, they're led by an incredibly sleek and athletic point guard in Tyrese Halliburton. A big part of their attack is what they bring off the bench and a guy that we are very familiar with in Obi Toppin. So there's a lot of athleticism on this Indiana Pacers team, whereas yeah, you had the Tyrese Maxey factor for Philadelphia, but so much of what they did, especially for the first three quarters of those games last series, revolved around putting the ball in the hands of Joel Embiid and watching him and having him create either a shot for himself or for one of his teammates. But he kind of did that while standing still the entire time. This is a completely different attack from Indiana. So you look at a guy like Precious Achiuwa. He has size. He's 6'8". Little undersized for a backup center, yes, which is tough against a guy like Joel Embiid. But again, the Pacers don't have a Joel Embiid on their team. But what Achiuwa is he's incredibly athletic. He can get out and run. He can block shots. He can attack the offensive glass. So is there going to be more of a spot for him in this series? I think yes, because he only played one game last series, and that was more out of necessity. That was because Mitchell Robinson injured himself in the middle of game number 4 and didn't return to action. Now, the other possibility, and I don't necessarily see this happening because he hasn't played in so long, and we're frankly not sure how healthy he is, but that is Alec Burks. The thing that, you know, gets Knicks fans dreaming about potential scenarios is what Buddy Hield did in Game 6 at the end of the last series. Buddy Hield was, by the way, ironically, a Pacer to start the season, was traded to Philadelphia at the deadline. He was supposed to be their scorer off the bench and had some moments during the regular season. First two games of the playoffs, he was awful. Scored 2 total points those first two games. He played just 4 minutes in Game 3, and then Nick Nurse pulled him from the rotation. Played 4 minutes in Game 3, didn't play in Game 4, didn't play in Game 5. Game 6, season on the line. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Nurse threw him back out there, and he had 17 points in the first half, and he ends up hitting 6 three-pointers in the game. Can Alec Burks give you something like that, even half of that? That's like the Knicks fans' pipe dream right now. But the biggest loss for Bogdanovich is this. Those minutes where Brunson's on the bench, and Brunson's averaging about 43, 44 minutes a game during the playoffs, which means he's on the bench for about 4 to 5 minutes a game, okay? Those minutes, as we spoke about last hour with Allen, are so important. You don't need to win those minutes. Just don't lose those minutes dramatically. You know, go even in the non-Brunson minutes. Go -2 in the non-Brunson minutes, even -3. You know, that should be your basement. If you do that or better, then you're fine. But before he got hurt, when Jalen Brunson was on the bench for these big games, either late in the season or the early part of the series against Philadelphia, when he was on the bench, Bojan Bogdanovic was always on the floor because Bogdanovic, with that second unit outside of Brunson, was probably the best offensive shot creator for himself on this Knicks team. So now you lose that. So now with Brunson on the bench, you are relying heavily on Deuce McBride, who's turned himself into a really good catch-and-shoot three-point shooter, okay? But he's not a shot creator. You're relying heavily on Josh Hart, who shot the three ball unbelievably well in the first round. He's not known for that historically. He creates shots in a unique way, basically pulling the ball off the backboard, grabbing a defensive rebound, and darting from one end of the court to the other, weaving in and out of the defense and finishing acrobatic layups inside. That's a creative way of doing that. So the Knicks are having to rely on different people to carry the offensive load during those minutes when Jalen Brunson is on the bench. And there's not going to be many of them throughout this series. 1-800-919-3776. I see a lot more calls coming in. We'll take a quick break and get to those as we continue on 98.7 ESPN New York.
This is the Pat O'Keefe Show.
Major international soccer is coming to New York this summer. FC Series and Soccer Champions Tour presents Manchester City and AC Milan at Yankee Stadium on July 27th. Enter for your chance to score tickets at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Scroll down to contests and submit your entry. Two grand prize winners will also receive either a Man City or AC Milan jersey. Watch some of the best teams in the world. Don't miss out. Get your tickets now at fcseries.com. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go back to the phones. Peter in New York City calling to talk about Knicks Pacers. Peter, what's going on?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. The other thing you tremendous memories. The other thing that I want to mention is forget about the confrontation between the players. Spike Lee with Reggie Miller, I mean, they got into it also. And the playoffs. I mean, we should add that also to this rivalry. The question I have for this particular playoffs, how do you see the games going? Do you think the games are going to be in the 120 range, which would probably benefit Indiana? Do you see a more controlled defensive battle, maybe to the 110 range, which would probably benefit the Knicks? So, I mean, Indiana has the more depth. So how do you see these games going? Do you think they'll be in the 120s or probably less?
It's a good question because, Peter, thanks for the call. You look at the regular season numbers, Pacers are one of the highest scoring teams in the NBA, one of the fastest paced teams in the NBA. In terms of pace, out of 30 NBA teams during the regular season, the Knicks ranked 30th. That was by design. That is not to their detriment. That is how this team is designed, especially offensively, where they put the ball in the hands of Jalen Brunson, and oftentimes their offensive philosophy is for him to use his footwork, his fakes, his dekes, bore his way through the defense, and find an opening to score. It has worked to the tune of a second seed in the Eastern Conference, 50 wins, and now home court advantage in the second round of the playoffs. I don't see this series being played in the 120s. I don't see it being played, you know, in the low 90s either. Obviously, when you have two contrasting styles like this, there is usually a tendency to meet in the middle. I think it'll be somewhere in the middle. And that's going to be a big determinant of how this series plays out. You know, is it closer to 100, 102 point games, or is it closer to 108, 110 point games? Obviously, the Knicks would love it in the 100 to 100. And 2 point range that benefits their style of play. The other thing, and Alan brought this up when we spoke last hour, Indiana's pace, as fast as it was during the regular season, much slower during the postseason. All right. And they played a team in Milwaukee that is not a fast paced team either. They have a lot of veterans, Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton. So Indiana played more to their opponent's pace in round number one. It worked. They beat him in six games to get to this point. One more quick break. More of your calls, 1-800-919-3776 on 98.7 ESPN New York.